Good morning. Good morning. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I did. Spent it with some great people, as I usually do. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We're going to enjoy this Monday morning, right? I love Monday mornings. I told you guys, the worst day of the week for me is Friday, because that's when I'm going to say goodbye to you. And but Monday is my favorite day of the week. I'm back in. And I don't have dialysis. So, and I have good lunch plans today. So everything's perfect. Really, everything's perfect. So, because I know some of you do care, some of you are interested. I had a really good phone call on Friday. So we had Thanksgiving on Thursday, right? I have a lot to give thanks for, as I hope you do as well. I hope that that's your perspective on life. To be thankful. Thankful for being alive in this time and for the people you have around you. And thankful for the people that you don't have around you, that you don't want around you. And also thankful the people that we've lost, right? People who've gone on to the afterlife. So, because I don't want to go on to the afterlife this quickly, I've told you I went up and had an appointment with my surgeons, potential surgeons, last week. Maybe it was a week before now. And they called me last week, but it was a short week. And so I was talking at Thanksgiving about these are the people that are going to do the transplant for me, for my kidney. They had called me, but I didn't get a chance to get back to them on Wednesday. So there I was at Thanksgiving telling people about it, that I was going to have to wait till Monday to make that phone call. Because in my mind, nobody was working on Friday. But then on Friday morning, I realized if they're at the hospital, they got to be working, right? It's not a retail operation. It's not J. Crew. It's not a mall. They'll be there. So I called my surgeon team, or the person who called me, on Friday morning. And the news I got was that they've moved me to the next phase. In other words, when you're looking for an organ, my opinion is, since so many people want them, want the surgeon, want that team, and they're looking for results that last, right? That basically they're looking for elimination stuff. And I don't blame them, right? I feel my business is news and politics. And I look for ways to eliminate people from the mix if they're not relevant anymore, right? So I do it all the time. So the call the message I received on Friday morning that I thought I was going to have to wait till today to hear was that I've been cleared through the process to go to the next level, right? The next challenge, if you will. So this is all good news. I was a little, not pessimistic, but I think you got to be when you don't control it, right? Was there something wrong with my body physically? Obviously there is. That might prevent me from going forward? Well, apparently there is not. According to the doctors and the surgeons and all the nurses and the social workers, they're going to move me to the next phase for my kidney transplant. So without even realizing it, I had a lot to be thankful for on Thursday. So I'll keep you guys informed as we go along. That's going to require me to be out of here for about 3 to 6 months. Out of the studio, maybe I can be broadcasting from a remote location. But certainly you'll get enough notice in advance. And we have great fill-in people here who've done a lot for me. And Tim and Michael Rock and Mark Stokowski, they'll make it all possible. But you'll get a good head start on all that. You'll know, as will I. So that was my news that I've got Friday morning. And I've been waiting to tell you guys because without you, quite frankly, I don't think I would have survived. All the prayers, the support, the friendships. So I appreciate it. It is with that in mind that I ask you, with the power of your prayers, when this audience starts praying, good things start happening, okay? We know that. I am living proof of that. So I want you to start to think about, if you haven't already, National Guard soldier Andrew Wolf. Andrew Wolf was attacked by the terrorist in Washington, D.C. National Guardsman Andrew Wolf. He's in tough shape, guys. He needs your prayers. He needs my prayers. We need to pray as a unit. When more than one of us, you know, right? When a couple of us get together in fellowship, Jesus Christ is there. You know that. I know that. I'm living proof of it. So I ask all of you to pray for Andrew Wolf, the West Virginia National Guard soldier who was attacked by the Afghani refugee. The migrant with a firearm, right? An immigrant, not a citizen, somehow had obtained a firearm. I don't understand why we would give firearms to non-citizens, but or allow them to have them. But he had it. And Andrew Wolf needs your prayers. Andrew Wolf is the West Virginia National Guard soldier that was attacked by the terrorist. Sarah Beckstrom, she lost her life to the terrorist, the migrant with a gun. Sarah Beckstrom, West Virginia National Guard soldier. Her soul needs your prayers now, right? And so do her family. Her family. Anyway, pray for Andrew Wolf. He's still alive, hanging in there. And people can recover with prayers, with good doctors, with good medicine. But all we can do, really, and it's not much, but it's often enough, is add Andrew Wolf to your prayer list. Reach out to your pastor, to your priest. Maybe have a mass said for him. I don't know. Do something for Andrew Wolf. Pray for him. And, of course, for the soul of Sarah Beckstrom. These two good Americans, National Guard soldiers, killed on the streets of America by an immigrant with a gun. A refugee with a gun. It's outrageous, quite frankly. And everybody in a position of lawmaking ought to be looking at the laws, what they allow, the penalties for breaking the law, but particularly for foreigners with firearms on American soil. That's a real invasion. Even if they were invited. All right. So, guys, happy Monday morning. Do what you can do to make the world a better place. In my opinion, it's to pray for Andrew Wolf. If we all do it, I think a miracle could happen here. A real miracle. Certainly the season, right? Okay. Now, at 10 o'clock, I'm going to have Tim White on. Tim White, of course, is with Channel 12. They're doing a documentary, The Last Dawn of Rhode Island, New England. Louis Menacchio. I know that I watched the first and the second. The second one dropped today, the first last week. The third one, I am told, is going to feature maybe some people that we all know, certainly people I know. So if you're not watching it, you really ought to be. It's free on the internet. WPRI.com. Check it out. They're running it, The Last Dawn of Providence or New England. It's about Louis Menacchio. So we'll have Tim White on today for a little bit in the 10 o'clock hour to talk about that. Encourage you guys to go watch because I think it's been fascinating. They're breaking a lot of news. They've done a lot of research. So we'll have Tim White. And then the 11 o'clock hour, we will have Brian Shortsleeve. Brian Shortsleeve is seeking your vote in the Republican primary to be the governor. To be the governor. He was traveling on Wednesday when I was having other candidates on. So I'm giving him a makeup round here for Brian Shortsleeve. I find Brian very attractive as a candidate and very interesting. So we're happy to give him some airtime. All right. I hope you folks have been reading the Boston Herald. Tim Dunn, formerly here of WBSM, he was our news director, went down to Fox News as a writer. Now he's back at the here writing for the Boston Herald as their lead political reporter. So I hope you're reading Tim Dunn. Tim Dunn was picked up by the Wall Street Journal, his articles, and used for the Wall Street Journal to discuss our governor and making it a commentary on the entire left, the left-wing energy agenda for America. Because you and I, my friends, are the canaries in the mine, right? We are the canaries in the mine. Do you know what a canary in the mine is for? That's when they bring you down. When miners would go underground, right, where the oxygen can be depleted, they would bring a canary. Because if the canary died, they knew they were running out of oxygen and they had just seconds to escape. That's what a canary in the mine is. So you and I are the canaries in the mine for America, because the Democrats, the left wing, their energy policies that they want to run nationwide are currently killing the canaries, me and you. We are being killed with energy prices and the economic growth that's being stifled by the energy prices. So you've got to reach out. I mean, when the Wall Street Journal takes notice, you know, in fact, you are suffering, right? You are suffering. 508-996-0500. Many of you have just turned the heat on, like my colleague Tim. I'm not sure if Tim even has turned the heat on yet. He's a rugged guy. He's a lot more rugged than me. But it's open phones. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. How do you feel about these energy prices? What you're paying? What you're going through? Do you feel betrayed by Maura Healey and the Democrats? I know I do. I voted for her. Many of you did as well. 508-996-05. We'll take a break when we come back. It's open phones. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. How was your Thanksgiving? What are you thankful for? And what did you think of the terrorist attack in our capital by a migrant with a firearm, right? A foreigner with a firearm on American territory. Could that happen in Massachusetts? Is it already happening in Massachusetts? Stick around. We'll be right back.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back to the program. It's going to be a beautiful day here in Fairhaven, at least. I hope it's pretty wherever you are. Sun's kind of coming out. It'll be a little cold out there, but it is the winter. So where's all that global warming they promised, right? Anyway, 508-996-0500. Kind of open phones. A lot of us have been stunned by the terrorist attack by a foreigner with a firearm on American soil. which is outrageous in my opinion. Look, I'm a true believer in the Second Amendment for Americans, right? I don't think just anybody who happens to be in the American territory should have a firearm. Christ, we take away firearms rights from Americans. If you do something wrong, you're no longer allowed to have a firearm. I've got friends of mine who can't own firearms. Maybe you can't own a firearm. But you're an American citizen, right? You can still go vote, certainly pay your taxes, but you don't get a gun. But yet a foreigner can have a gun on American soil? Outrageous. Outrageous that anybody who's not part of the team, right, not an American citizen, can have a firearm. I think it's outrageous. Now, I don't know if this guy got the gun legally or illegally, but I don't think anybody who's not an American citizen should have has any reason to have a firearm on American soil. Absolutely outrageous. But if it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you, my friend?
Very good. Hey, I just want to say that congratulations should go out also to the unarmed major who took down the shooter with just a jackknife.
Yes.
One of the other guys and came over and I guess he put a couple into his leg or whatever to hold him down. I mean, that was a pretty brave thing to do with a jackknife.
To bring a knife to a gunfight is often considered foolish, right?
Oh, yeah. And I can imagine. I mean, this guy's away shooting out people with a .357 Magnum and this other fellow with no gun attacks him with a jackknife. God bless him.
Do you know his name? Because I it escapes me right now.
No, it just said an unarmed major, I believe his rank was.
A major.
I've never seen his name. That's why I brought it up today. Because I looked again today just to see if they put it in. I mean, maybe he doesn't want to have his name mentioned.
He may not. And it also may mean because he would instantly become a target, right, for retribution by whoever was really behind this attack.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's true, too. I didn't even think about that. Crazy place we live in.
Well, but it's better than everywhere else.
That up, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for the contribution to the program. Yes. Our gratitude goes out to that major. Again, I don't know his name. I guess I could look it up at the break. I will look it up at the break. Maybe one of you will look it up. Who used a jackknife, a pocket knife. Something I always have within reach of me, to tell you the truth. Have for years. I always think it's important to have a pocket knife or something you can do work with. I never thought about it really for defense. I mean, I guess it would work. Obviously, it did. But again, we're mourning today, National Guard soldiers who were attacked in that terrorist attack down in Washington, D.C. Sarah Beckstrom, she lost her life. Andrew Wolf is hanging on. So, if you're the praying type, pray for Andrew Wolf. Andrew Wolf is a National Guard soldier from West Virginia who's struggling right now to survive the terrorist attack. So pray for Andrew Wolf. Pray for the soul of Sarah Beckstrom. You know, upgrading your home's energy efficiency can really feel overwhelming. But with C2S Energy, you don't have to go it alone. Their certified experts handle everything, from assessing your home to recommending the right solutions. Whether it's insulation, windows, roofing, or high-efficiency heat pumps. They even navigate the rebate process for you, making it simple to qualify for savings up to $16,000. Trust the team that knows the programs, the products, and how to maximize your comfort and savings. Visit C2SEnergy.com and let C2S Energy do the heavy lifting for you. So, what else is going on right now on your mind around the area? We had the return of the city council president, Shane Burgo, here to the Tim Weisberg program. Always a good addition to the radio, right? I think Tim does a tremendous service by bringing in the city council president. Hopefully, hopefully the next city council president will continue the tradition started by Tim Weisberg and Shane Burgo, similar to what I do on Wednesday with the mayor. And hopefully, because there'll be a new city council president in January. I'm hearing a lot of things. I'm hearing that the very talented Ryan Pereira from Ward 6 has the votes of his colleagues to advance to the city council presidency. Now, I don't know if it's locked up, as they say, right? If he's locked it all up. And what will that presidency look like? Will it be a continuation of Shane Burgos' presidency? Those two are pretty tight. They came in together as rookie counselors and forged a bond that I think overcomes ideological differences. But my understanding is Ryan Pereira is likely the next city council president. And my opinion is Ryan Pereira is a very talented guy. I don't always like the direction he focuses his talents. But I think he is a serious city councilor, does his homework. I think sometimes he comes down politically in the wrong camp, but I do recognize his innate ability and love of the city of New Bedford. So should it be Ryan Pereira? Obviously, we could do worse, right? We've seen worse. 508-996-0500. All this talk about the mayor's race, right? Who's going to be the next mayor? Who in the world is going to take on John Mitchell should he decide to run again? Well, as a keen watcher, I do it so you don't have to. Let me tell you something. There is nobody who's financially able, with the publicly available records of campaign finance, to take on John Mitchell should he decide to run for re-election. That's the facts today. I looked. The only one with any reasonable expectation financially to take on John Mitchell is Tony Cabral. And we know how that ended last time, right? Tony Cabral is the only person in the universe of New Bedford politics who's ever showed a desire to be mayor, who has the financial wherewithal on record to take on John Mitchell. So what does that say? Would you like a Tony Cabral mayor? Would that be better than the current John Mitchell? Tony Cabral as mayor of the city of New Bedford? What would you think of Tony AFDC Cabral? That's his initials, right? Howie Carr, the great columnist and talk show host here at WBSM, but Boston Herald talk show host, one day was looking at a document, and he realized that Tony Cabral, Representative Cabral's initials, are AFDC. The name of the government program, right? Aid for Women and Children. AFDC. Tony Cabral's initials are AFDC. So he, you know, nicknamed him AFDC. Howie Carr. So he is the only one with a financial wherewithal. If the election was held today, or even if it's held in a year, quite frankly, which it will be, is Tony Cabral is the only one with the kind of money that you would need to take on John Mitchell. John Mitchell has about $400,000 in his campaign account, with the ability to raise way more than that. But Tony's in the six-figure range as well. Everybody else at the highest is nowhere near 100,000. Nowhere near 100,000. Ian Abreu, Linda Morad, they're both way under 100,000. And nobody else is even in that ballpark. 508-996-0500. Kind of open phones, but I'm curious if you realize that to run against John Mitchell, you'd need to be raising about $1,000 a day starting this month. So we're going to start watching that. See if guys like Ian Abreu are coming in at $1,000 a day. Right, we'll have to look at it on the month-by-month basis. But like Leo Choquette, as an example, in Ward 1, he's nowhere near it. He's got below 10 grand, I think, in the bank. Maybe around 10 grand. If he was serious about running for mayor, he would have to today raise $1,000. Tomorrow, raise $1,000. And onward and upwards until he did it for the year, which would put him around $300,000, right? You're going to have a burn, right? You're going to burn some of the money. So at the end of the year, he'd have about $300,000. If Leo Choquette, which I have no belief he's going to, was to decide today he was going to run. Now, I know Shane Burgo decided years ago that he was running for mayor. But he's nowhere near the financial ability to do it. So we're going to have to watch. Is Shane Burgo raising $30,000 a month? That's what he has to do. $30,000 a month to even be relevant to the conversation. Everything else is just hyperbole and BS, right? If you want to be serious, you got to be coming in at $30,000 a month starting basically today. 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, my friend.
Did I break your heart when I told you that nobody's got the financial ability to run against the mayor?
Did you watch OTR this week?
No.
Well, they had the person who beat, I guess it's DeMario and Everett, on, and he was the city councilor. I think his name is Van Campen or something like that.
That is his name, yes.
Yes, okay. Okay, so, what's his name? DeMario there, I guess I forget the right name for that one. He was there for 18 years.
DeMaria.
Oh, DeMaria. I'm sorry. Okay.
That's all right. He's got good friends on the South Coast.
Well, he's got a compas, you know, like that. Like your compas in Flamengo right
on.
Now. Why don't you talk about the Port Authority and the problems we got there?
Well,
if you want to talk about money.
It's because I don't think that anybody running against the mayor can broadcast with any effectiveness any of the problems they think he has with the city, you know?
Well, as the song goes, money makes the world go round.
Absolutely.
But you just lost two supermarkets to the two towns next year, okay?
Yes.
Which maybe they could have went in the advanced manufacturing you know, like that. You know, so it's more than money. It's common sense. And again, DeMaria was around 18 years. Now, what's Mitchell been around now? How many years now? 12? Yeah, okay. So how long is he going to go? You know, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts, absolutely. And, again, I don't think it's all money. I think it's what's going on. Can you talk to me about the Port Authority?
Well,
I
don't think that was fair, what the Inspector General said about the Port Authority. They never even interviewed Gordon Carr.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They really didn't.
Money gone there. There's money that's not there, right? There's money that's been, where's it gone?
But what I'm saying is, no, listen, I think it's, in the respect that you're putting it forward, I think it's fair criticism because it's been covered in the media, written by the Inspector General. My problem is, I don't think that Inspector General's report was fair to the Port Authority and the fact they didn't even interview Gordon Carr.
Well, whether you think it's fair or not, if
it's there.
Money missing, okay, just like with the money that was supposed to go for the the city councilors there for their seniority. That wasn't money missing, but nobody thought about it, you know, until they said, "Oh, gee, maybe we shouldn't do this." Money makes the world go round. It's not just the money that you have to run for mayor. It's, hey, where's this money? Ask the mayor when you come on Wednesday. Will you ask him?
Ask him what?
Ask him what's wrong with the
police. No, that's, listen, you call and ask him that. Do you believe the Inspector General's report is fair?
Yeah.
You do? Why?
The Inspector General.
Why? No, listen. The guy didn't even interview the person he wrote about. How can that be fair?
You're going on a side.
No. Listen to me. Listen to me. You can't write a report about somebody that you don't interview. That's not fair. And don't ask me to carry your water because you don't like the mayor. And you don't have the courage to call up when he's sitting here and ask him the question. You ask him the goddamn question. You want to filter it through me, launder it through me. I don't believe the report is fair. You ask me to launder your garbage question through me to the mayor? Find somebody else, sweetheart. Not me. Find somebody else. That report's not fair. They don't interview. They don't ask for the records. They don't interview them. The head of the Port Authority. And then you want me to ask the mayor a question that you don't have the balls to call up and ask? I'm not going to do your dirty work. I don't believe that report is fair. I think it's another hit job on the city of New Bedford, to be quite honest with you. We've seen them before, right? The We Are Prey report that came out while they were looking to select the next U.S. attorney. Then suddenly the We Are Prey report comes out. Come on. You got to see a pattern here. All right, I got to take a break. If you're on hold, stay there. It's open phones. I'm happy to hear from anybody. Take a break. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the program. Happy Monday morning, right? Hope we all had a nice Thanksgiving, long weekend. It's been, 5 days since I've been here? 5 days. I don't like being away from the microphone at all, to tell you the truth. But, you know, everybody needs a little time to recharge and all that. So we're coming into the new week here. We'll all hopefully be praying for Andrew Wolf. Andrew Wolf is the West Virginia National Guard soldier wounded by a foreigner with a firearm on American soil. Outrageous. And of course, Sarah Beckstrom, who died, she was a West Virginia soldier who died in the line of duty, shot, murdered by a terrorist, a foreigner with a firearm here in the United States, which is absolutely outrageous, and there's no real good reason for it. If you're not an American citizen, you should not have a firearm on American soil. I don't think that's some crazy idea, is it? I always thought that was the way it was. That Americans have a Second Amendment right. Everybody else, go start a revolution in your country, right? Get individual rights. When you're an American citizen, then you can have a firearm here on American soil. In fact, some of our fellow Americans cannot have firearms. I think of not a lot of my friends, but a couple of them are disqualified from owning firearms. Yet we have foreigners with firearms, both illegal and legal. It's crazy. Anyway, it's kind of open phones. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
How you doing, Chris?
Good. How you doing?
Good, good. A nice crisp morning.
Yes, sir.
Hey, it's good to live in the USA.
I think so.
Yep. Going back to, you're talking about the mayors and all that.
Yes, sir.
And you're saying, that guy's got more money than the other guy.
Yes.
Well, why does it come down to money and not just what they're going to do?
Well,
does it come down to a billboard?
Well, it basically does. And that's not because of me and probably not because of you. You probably stay up to date and informed. But the reality of it is most people don't. Yeah, but most people don't. So you got to, just like Coca-Cola and advertise, just like insurance agencies and, you know, all kinds of people advertise to get their message out, to get their opportunities out. It does take money. That's why.
But, like, you can't put somebody down. Like, I think what's going on in New York, that is a mess.
Right.
That is a big mess. But hey, let's worry about New Bedford, Dartmouth.
Right.
I think Dartmouth, I live in Dartmouth. I don't live in New Bedford.
Okay.
I listen to what goes on in New Bedford.
Oh, what happens in New Bedford impacts all of us, obviously.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, like, in Dartmouth, they're overbuilding Dartmouth like you wouldn't believe.
You think they're overbuilding it?
Overbuilding? Oh, yeah. On Old Westport Road, right next to where I live, they wanted to put on 157-unit apartments for low income.
Hmm.
But it's a gravel pit. And everybody said that lives around here all their lives, it's all contaminated. So they started out big. They cleared a little bit to make it look good like they're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
But they never informed the public of people that live around here. And now they want to put up traffic lights and stop signs. There's never been a traffic light or a stop sign where they're talking. It was Bob Mello. He's deceased.
Okay.
His son owns the property now. And it's like, it's the same guy building at Joe's U-Cycle on Route 6, same company. They stripped all that land, stripped it down to nothing. But there's nothing going. There's nothing doing. They stripped the land. And see, I can keep ranting like coyotes. Everybody says, oh, there's coyotes in my head. Hey, if you keep on taking away all the woods, what do you want that coyote to do?
Right. No, I agree with you there. I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
I do,
like
I do.
They punch in these cul-de-sacs. Them cul-de-sacs go a mile into the woods. They got these big fancy houses. Oh, hey, don't be burning. Hey, don't walk through my yard with a gun because you want to go shoot a deer because it's winter.
Right.
And like people like to do that.
You
grow up doing it.
Yes.
But you get all these people that, oh, don't walk. Oh, there's a guy walking down the road with a gun. So what? I'm going hunting.
Right, right. He's been walking down that road with that gun for 20 years.
I've been walking more than 20 years.
You're right. More than 20.
And I still walk down the road because, you know, we used to ride quads down the roads, dirt bikes. Now it's like dirt bikes. Everybody, oh, it's getting a bad name. Well, get rid of these guys. They're not kids riding these quads.
No, they aren't. Not at all.
They're not kids. Everybody says, oh, they're little kids, the poor things. No, they're grown adults.
Hey, thanks for the call, my friend. Thank you. You know what? It's funny. My dad, you know, of course, I grew up in Freetown. My dad had, you know, some land out there. And a lot of quads used to cut across it. And one day, I went out there. They were breaking the fence down. And I was not happy with that, right? And remember, the guy's helmet came off. Let's just say the guy's helmet came off. And he had a mustache. And the first thing I said to him was, how old are you? How old are you? And he started answering. I go, it doesn't matter. I go, You know better than to try to break someone's fence down on private property. But anyway, all right, I got to take a break. Good morning. Happy Monday morning. It's open phones. We'll be joined by Tim White for a little bit in the next hour to promote his special. It's available at WPRI, WPRI.com. But the last mafia don of New England, really, Louis Menacchio. And then we'll be, Brian Shortsey will be here in the 11 o'clock hour. Stick around. We'll be right back. Becoming a beautiful day here in Fairhaven. Hope you're having a beautiful day where you are. Start out the show on kind of a somber note, right? That we got to pray for the souls and the survival of those National Guard soldiers that laid it all down, right? Andrew Wolf, who's recovering in the hospital, hopefully recovering, right? With our prayers. I just remember myself being in the hospital and quite frankly, it was Hank Turgeon to some degree that rallied all of you on Barry Richards' show. And then it just kept going. And it brought me out, along with the really excellent doctors over at South Coast, of all my medical turmoil. I'm still dealing with some of it, obviously, now. But anyway, what I'm saying is prayer works. So pray for Andrew Wolf, National Guard soldier of West Virginia. The reason I brought up the mayor's race is that when I was looking at the finance stuff over the weekend, and that last caller was right. Should it, to the degree that, is it about money? Well, it's not, but it's how we keep score. When you start to handicap the race, if there's going to be a race, you look at the money. And that's because that's how people communicate. Radio ads here on this program are expensive, as they should be. And you people are voters. So people who want to reach you advertise here on this program. And that costs money. They do direct mail that gets right to your mailbox directly based on your voter history is whether they target you or not, right? And all of that costs money. That free pizza that candidates give out with a handshake at senior centers and all around the city, right? All of that costs money. And if you're in office and you're not raising money, you ain't going anywhere, right? And the mayor of New Bedford, John Mitchell, has $400,000. And it could be double that if he felt, in my opinion, if he needed it, right? Meanwhile, Shane Burgo, who's the only basically declared candidate, he'll try to deny it now, but I know he told people, including election night, the last election night, that the mayor's race has started now and was trying to solicit money. He's way, way behind the eight ball in terms of fundraising because you've got to buy your message, just like Coca-Cola and insurance agencies and the New Bedford Police Union, as an example, has got an ad running right now. That costs them money. That's how you reach people, right? So what I'm saying is it's publicly available and therefore easy to talk about. The money race, right? If you're not raising $30,000 a month starting now, then you're not really a serious candidate for the mayor of New Bedford. Not if John Mitchell's going to run again.